I'd like to refer to four scriptures. First of all, in the second book of Kings and chapter 20. It's on page 511, for those that find page numbers easier. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, Thus saith Jehovah, Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And he turned his face to the wall and prayed to Jehovah, saying, Ah, Jehovah, remember, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done what is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept much. And it came to pass before Isaiah had gone out into the middle city, that a word of Jehovah came to him, saying, Return. And tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith Jehovah, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up to the house of Jehovah, I will add to thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a cake of figs. And they took it, and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, What shall be the sign that Jehovah will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of Jehovah the third day? And Isaiah said, This shall be the sign to thee from Jehovah, that Jehovah will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the degree go forward 10 degrees, or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah said, It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. No, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried to Jehovah, and he brought the shadow back on the degrees by which it had gone down on the dial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. Luke's Gospel and chapter 23, page 1262. I'd like to start reading from verse 33. And when they came to the place which is called Skull, there they crucified him, that is Jesus, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And parting out his garments, they cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them sneered, saying, He has saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ, the chosen one of God. And the soldiers also made game of him, coming up offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And there was also an inscription written over him, in Greek and Roman and Hebrew letters, This is the king of the Jews. Now one of the malefactors who had been hanged spoke insultingly to him, saying, Art not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou too not fear God, thou that art under the same judgment? And we indeed justly, for we receive the just recompense of what we have done. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said to Jesus, Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Verily I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there came darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple rent in the midst. And Jesus, having cried with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he expired. Now the centurion, seeing what took place, glorified God, saying, In very deed this man was just. And all the crowds who had come together to that sight, having seen the things that took place, returned beating their breasts. And all those who knew him stood afar off, the women also, who had followed him from Galilee, beholding these things. The Acts of the Apostles in chapter 26. On page 1342. Chapter 26, and we'll start reading from verse 9. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. I indeed myself thought that I ought to do much against the name of Jesus Nazarene, which also I did in Jerusalem, and myself shut up in prisons many of the saints, having received the authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my vote, and often punishing them with in all the synagogues, I compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly furious against them, I persecuted them, even to cities out of our own land. And when engaged in this, I was journeying to Damascus with authority and power from the chief priests. At midday on the way, I saw, O king, a light above the brightness of the sun, shining from heaven round about me and those who were journeying with me. And when we were all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against goads. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise up and stand on thy feet, for this purpose have I appeared to thee, to appoint thee to be a servant and a witness both of what thou hast seen and of what I shall appear to thee in, taking thee out from among the people and the nations to whom I send thee, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive remission of sins and inheritance among them as are sanctified by faith in me. Whereupon, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but have first to those both in Damascus and Jerusalem, and to all the region of Judea, and to the nations announced that they should repent and turn to God, doing works worthy of repentance. On account of these things, the Jews, having seized me in the temple, attempted to lay hands on and destroy me. Having therefore met with the help which is from God, I have stood firm unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying nothing else than those things which both the prophets and Moses have said should happen, namely, whether Christ should suffer, whether he first, through resurrection of the dead, should announce light both to the people and to the nations. And then can we finally read in the prophet Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and that's on page 1142, and just read from verse 1 of chapter 4, Malachi 4, verse 1. For behold, the day cometh, burning as a furnace, and all the proud and all the work, and all that work wickedness shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith Jehovah of hosts, so that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and leap like fatted calves, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I prepare, saith Jehovah of hosts. Be aware, we will remember this week that there was a solar eclipse, or a partial social eclipse. Quite an event. It doesn't happen very often. As far as I can remember, it's about the second time in my lifetime we've had such an event. Reports from all over the country of Europe about the effect that this had. I was riding in a vehicle with a colleague and he said, it's a bit spooky, isn't it? It's a bit eerie. Feels like it could be the end of the world. And of course, when these things happen, it does. Things do go a bit strange. You get a strange light. And even creation itself, it said, reports in the paper how it affects even the animals. And it makes us realise the power that there is in all the creation and how puny and fragile we are. But you will notice in these scriptures that they all have reference to the sun in some way or another. The first one is the fact of the sun going back 10 degrees on the dial of Ahaz. And the second one, the day of darkest day, you might say, in this world's history, when the 3 hours of darkness covered the earth. And then the day of Paul's conversion, a light above the brightness of the noonday sun. And then in the last scripture, we have a wonderful sunrise. And I just trust that the Lord will give me help to speak what's on my heart and mind tonight in relation to this gospel preaching. And I started with this passage in 2 Kings in relation to Hezekiah. What a word came to Hezekiah. And the word of God comes in the gospel, you know, it's not my word, it's not my thoughts. I trust that the word comes from the Lord himself to each of us, preacher and hearer alike, that he might arrest us in relation to the importance of what God has to say. This man Hezekiah, he was a good king. If you read it in his history and read about it, he was a man that did fear God. And he'd been under, they were under tremendous pressure at this time. They were under a threat of the Assyrian overthrowing and ransacking the city of Jerusalem. And yet, in the midst of all this, comes this word from God to Hezekiah: set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. What a word that was. I wonder how would we react if we had a word from God to us tonight like that. You know, God does speak, doesn't he? Think of Luke 12, where the Lord speaks of that man who amassed all that wealth for himself and lay by it for himself. His thought was that he was going to enjoy his retirement for many, many days, eat, drink, and be merry. But the word came to him, fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and who shall be what thou hast prepared? What a word that is, isn't it? All that we strive for, aim for maybe in this world, material possessions, whatever we are after, it all has to be left behind when the day of the end of our life comes, and we all have to face it, that our lives will end here. We know that. We know from the day that we're born that there is a day when we're going to die. Scripture says a day to be born and a day to die. We have no control over either. We do not know when it will be. But there was a word from God to Hezekiah. And what a reaction there was from Hezekiah. This poor man, he says he turned his face to the Lord and prayed to Jehovah. At least he turned to the right source. He prayed to Jehovah. And if the word strikes home to us tonight, in any of the scriptures that we've read, I pray that we may turn to God, turn to the Lord. That's where we have to turn to. We don't turn to the preacher. We don't turn to other people. We turn to God. We turn to the Lord Jesus. And so Hezekiah tells God about how good he'd been and how faithful he'd been. God doesn't challenge it, but God heard his prayer. And that wonderful thing that God hears prayer. He hears out when we call out to him. Think of Peter on the water. He said, Lord, save. I perish, Lord, save. Think of that. And Lord Jesus stretched out his hand and pulled him out of the water. So if we feel in a desperate state, whatever we are, we know where we can turn. We know whom we can cry to. And so this situation with Hezekiah develops and God hears his prayer. The prophet Isaiah, who brought the word of God to him, is on his way back to where he came from. He gets another word from God to tell Hezekiah that his prayer had been heard and that God had answered it, and he's going to add 15 years to his life. Well, sadly, those extra 15 years that Hezekiah had weren't very profitable, were they? Because he was so glad that he'd been given an extra 15 years. He invited the Babylonian king to come and have a look at all his treasures, the treasures of Egypt, the treasures of Jerusalem. And that king, as we know later on, they ransacked Jerusalem and carried away all those possessions. And also, another thing is that his son Manasseh was born, one of the most wickedest kings there'd ever been. That's just an interesting thing to see in Scripture, but that was a result of the extra 15 years that he had. But you know, God in his mercy delivered him from this situation. And then he wanted a sign as to how this would be. And so God gives him a choice. Either the sun goes forward by 10 degrees or goes backward. And he said, well, it's a light thing to go forward 10 degrees. It's not such an easy thing to go backward. Well, of course, with God, nothing's difficult, is it? All things with God are possible. Well, I think we need to lay hold of that, you know. With God, all things are possible. And, you know, even for the conversions of a soul, for us, it's impossible. But it's not impossible for God. And so God allowed this to happen. The sundial went back to 10 degrees. And, of course, this is thrown into confusion. All these people who try to set times and dates as to when the world's going to end and whatever. But that's another story. But I just wanted to bring to home to us tonight this word that came, set thy house in order. Well, tonight, I would say, have you set everything in order in relation to your soul and to where you're going to spend eternity? Now is the opportunity. We aren't promised tomorrow. God hasn't promised us 15 years. He hasn't promised us another day. But he promises now. Behold, now is a day of salvation. Now is the well-accepted time. This might be our last night on earth. We have no idea what lies before us. We know that the Lord Jesus is coming again for all those who love him, who put their faith and trust in him. What we speak of the Lord's rapture, and that could happen at any moment, any time, any day. But we do know too that soon this day of grace is going to cease. But how fragile our lives are, you know, we think we've got everything under control and we make plans and we make arrangements, but then God steps in, doesn't he, and changes things that we never thought might happen. Well, may his word come to us tonight. And so I read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, what the you might say that what a day this was, the day that the sun was darkened over the whole land for 3 hours. 3 hours in the middle of the day, the Lord Jesus was the one who was taken here to be crucified upon the cross. It says there was darkness over the whole land from the third hour, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour. But we read this account of the sufferings of Jesus. Think of how he was treated. This is the way that the Saviour came, dear friend. This is the way he had to go to suffer, that there might be a basis laid where God, whereby God could bless the sinner and bless you and me. And so it says, where I started to read, they came to a place which is called Skull. This place, Golgotha, it says in another gospel, Calvary, we speak of it as to this place where Jesus was crucified, a place called Skull. The old preachers used to tell us, isn't it? A place that exposes the emptiness of man's mind. There they crucified the Lord of glory. It says in Corinthians, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Men didn't know what they were doing when they crucified Jesus, when they made a mockery of him. Think of the terrible things that they were doing to him here. That's crucifying with his malefactors and the mockery, Father, forgive. And the Lord Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What wonderful words of grace from Jesus. They had no idea what they were doing. They thought they were getting rid of Jesus. They thought they were having him out of their lives. And that's many people, sadly, don't want Christ in their lives today. They don't want to entertain the thought of God. But these people wanted Jesus out of the way, these chief priests and scribes. And they stirred up the people in hatred to say, crucify, crucify him. They wanted to destroy him. But this was to be the will of God, that Jesus should go this way, that he should become the sin bearer, the one who would suffer on the cross, who would pay the ransom for your sins and my sins, the one who would be available as a saviour for all mankind. What a wonderful way God took, you know. We cannot understand his ways, but what a wonderful footsteps of grace the saviour made when he went to that cross and when he suffered there and died. And think of them, that it says they parting out his garments, they cast lots. It says the rulers, they stood and sneered. He saved others, let him save himself. What terrible words of mockery to Jesus. Sing that hymn we sung, himself he could not save. How precious those words are. He wasn't there to save himself, dear friend. He was here to save you and me. And it meant that he had to die. He had to suffer this terrible ignominy and shame at the hands of men. The one who, it says, by whom he made the world. So you think of who was there. The Lord Jesus, a man, God manifest in flesh, God become man. We cannot understand it, but that's who was here, the one who created you and me, dear friend. And he was cast out, he was crucified on that cross. And it says they came, and the soldiers made game of him as well. You know, these words, crucified, made game, they seem, they're just words as we read them, but then you think of what is involved in that, that they crucified, what they did to his body. How they took him, how they beat him, the terrible sufferings that Jesus endured, and the mockery and the scorn and the despising. And they put the crown of, says earlier, they put a crown of thorns on his head and a purple robe, the king of the Jews, and beat him across the head. All these horrible acts, you know, these Roman soldiers, they weren't light-hearted. These were real hard men, and they treated the Saviour abominably. But you know, we have to understand that he was there not for himself, he was there for us. He took that suffering upon himself. And then it says the inscription was written over, this is the King of the Jews. And he's crucified there with these two malefactors. Well, I wasn't particularly wanting to go into that too much about the malefactors tonight. We often speak about them in the gospel. There are two men there, one on each side of the Lord in the middle. Think of him there and both of them hurling insults at him, it tells us in Matthew. And then it says this one here, he says, "Art not thou the Christ? Say, Christ, save thyself and us." But what a word! What a word that was! And this other man says, "Dost thou too not fear God?" You know, we read at home this morning, the fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom. Dost thou too not fear God? Are you afraid of God? Or are you like so many today who try to be so brazen and brash it out and think that they're going to tell God what they think about him when they see him? They won't, of course. They'll be dumb before him, you know. They won't have a thing to say. This man, dost thou too not fear God? What a word. What light came into his soul as he realized who was hanging beside him on the cross. He said, remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom. What light he had that Jesus was a king. They said king of the Jews, but he's a far greater than just a king of the Jews. He's the king of kings and Lord of lords. Soon Jesus is going to manifest his power to this unbelieving world. What a day that will be. Are you living in the hope and the joy and the light of that day? Or does it mean nothing to you, my friend? The prophet says, does it mean nothing to you, all ye who pass by? Are you passing by the cross of Jesus and it means nothing to you? Or has it become precious to you? Oh, I'm so thankful that Jesus was prepared to go that way. Why did he go that way? He went that way to save me from my sins. He didn't bear the sins from the hand of men. It was from the hand of God he bore the judgment and the wrath. As we come on to those 3 hours of darkness, that's when that great transaction took place between the Father and his Son, between God and man, when the whole sin question had to be dealt with. When we must come to a realization that before God we are sinners, and we are sinners who are bound for hell. And unless we repent of our sins and turn to God and confess Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we will not be saved. But God desires you to be saved tonight, my friend. And that's why this word goes out. And so it says, this man says on the cross, we indeed justly, we received a just recompense of what we have done. What this man had done, I don't know. He was a malefactor. Maybe he murdered. Maybe he was a thief, whatever it was. But he realized he was on that cross and he deserved to die. And you know, as sinners, we have to realize that we deserve to die. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. By one man, sin entered into the world, and by sin, death. Thus death has passed upon all men. There's nobody who's left out of that, is there? How inclusive all these things are. People talk about inclusivity today. Well, we're all included in that. We're all sinners before a holy and righteous God. But God has provided the remedy whereby we can be saved. But what it cost, my friend, was what transpired in these 3 hours of darkness. It says there in verse 44, the sixth hour, there came darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple rent in the midst. What a day of days that was. What a day it was in the world's history. You might say, the old dispensation, it all looked onto the cross. And today we look back to that moment. We all look back to the cross when this whole matter was resolved in the sight of a holy and righteous God. And God can now righteously go out in blessing towards you because of what Jesus accomplished. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. Think of him laying the stripes of our sins upon him. Think of Jesus enduring it. And think of him saying earlier, Father, forgive them, for they're not what they do. But when he comes here, it says, Jesus having cried with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Think of these words. There's a preaching, I think, Ashley's got it on in amongst his collection of that, the seven cries from the cross or something like that. And we have two cries in here, don't we? Have Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Another gospel says, it is finished. I think that's John's gospel. It is finished. Where he endured those 3 hours of the punishment of God upon the cross. And he drained the judgment of wrath of God. I don't think we can really enter into or understand what it must mean for a holy and righteous God to pour out his wrath. The wrath of God, it says in Revelation that there's a time coming when people realize it is the wrath and judgment of God, and they will try and hide themselves in the mountains and the caves. So it's obviously a terribly fearful thing, but Jesus endured the wrath of God against sin, that there might be a basis whereby we can go free. And so it says, having a loud voice, says, Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. And having said this, he expired. What words they are. Jesus died. He really died. He gave up his life. Is that the end of the story? No, dear friend, thank God it's not the end of the story. He was buried. Two, also, his blood was shed upon that cross. He died and then he shed his blood. And it's in the shedding of his blood, there's a righteous basis for God to forgive sins. It said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Jesus' blood was shed on that cross. And my friend, your sins can be covered, can be removed because of what Jesus has done in shedding his blood. Yes, precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed at Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners. Can you say shed for me? I can, thank God. It's not through anything about me, but I can say it because I believe it. And that's what God has asked us to do, to believe it, believe the gospel. So he was taken down from that cross and he was buried. He lay in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And on the third day, he rose again. Wonderful news in the glad tidings that Jesus is living. We don't preach a dead savior. We don't preach a dead religion. We preach about a person. A person who has accomplished everything for God's satisfaction. And I can tell you that Jesus is alive tonight. He's ascended up into heaven. That's where he is. He's waiting to impart blessing to whosoever called upon him. And so the effects of this moment was, it said that these people, the crowds would come together. In very deed, that centurion said, very deed, this man was just. The first conversion at the cross, in very deed, this man was just. That Roman soldier, hard man, he'd seen what had happened, was converted to realize who Jesus was. Wasn't it wonderful the way we see in Scripture, the way that people were blessed, even in such extreme moments. And God can use anything in your life. He can use anything in my life to bring us to this point of repentance. And said, all those that had known him, they said they returned beating their breasts, wondering what had taken place that day. I wonder how things were those 3 hours of darkness, you know, what it must have meant to people. I expect it was quite a terrifying time, not realizing what was going on. But what we do know is God was in control and God was over it all, and he was bringing things to pass. And so I read about the Apostle Paul in Acts 26. Quite a favorite scripture of mine, as you probably are aware, but this was a day when the light shined above the brightness of the noonday sun. One of the things they were saying on Thursday was, don't look at the sun because it will damage your eyes forever. But here was a light which is above the brightness of the noonday sun. And this was the light that God used to strike down Paul. Think of him reflecting on this, you know, this day of days in his life. He said, I thought to do much against the name. He hated Christians. He hated Christ. And he thought he was doing God's work, funnily enough, isn't it? These extremists, they think they're doing God's work. But he was actually doing the enemy's work. And so he said that I ought to do much against the name of Jesus the Nazarene, which also I did in Jerusalem. Shut up in prisons many of the saints and the chief priests. And then when there were those that were put to death, he said, I gave my vote. Think of him at the stoning of Stephen. He said, they laid there clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. What a day that was, you know. And it speaks here about the goads. Was that one of the goads when Saul was there at the stoning of Stephen, the man who witnessed to Jesus standing in heaven? What an insight Stephen had to where Jesus is. And anyway, he says, I thought I ought to do much against it. He said, I persecuted even out to my cities. I was just struck by this when he journeyed to Damascus, with authority and power. You know, these are things that people strive after, authority and power. Paul had it, you know. This day he was going to Damascus and he was going to drag many more to prison, Ananias amongst them, I suppose. And he was on their journey that day, but he hadn't reckoned with God. You know, many people, they don't reckon with God in their lives, do they? These people with authority, with great power today, we think, who can stop them? Who can stop people doing such terrible things? God can, you know, he can stop anybody in their tracks if he chooses to do so. We can take confidence in that, you know. We as believers, we might be distressed about all that we see happening. We think, how are things going to turn out? Our confidence needs to be in God and the one who's over all. He's in charge of those who have power and authority. He says, I saw, O King, a light above the brightness of the sun, shining above the brightness of the sun, shining from heaven. You know, I love that. Above the brightness of the glory of Jesus. There were some disciples who were taken up onto the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw the power and glory of Jesus in his kingdom. Have you had that insight? Have you seen the glory and power of Jesus? Oh, friend, lift your eyes up to heaven. Lift your eyes to Christ. See what a glorious man and person he is. Think of all that belongs to him. Says that in Acts that he was taken up into heaven and he's coming again in like manner. He's come with power and great glory. What a day that will be. We really need to get a sense of the power and greatness of Jesus instilled into our hearts and realize that he's the one that we follow. He's the one we belong to. We don't belong here. We don't belong to society. We belong to Jesus, and we're to be here for him. And so this day changed Saul's life forever. This was a moment. And we often say we wish we'd had a Pauline conversion. I'm not so sure that I would have liked to have had a message that he had, that he was going to suffer many things for the name of Christ. He had tremendous conversion, but then he suffered many things when he became a follower of Jesus. Are we prepared to suffer and follow Jesus? What a challenge that is to my heart, and what a challenge it was to Paul. Anyway, he saw the light. I think everybody saw the light, but he also heard a voice. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against goads. So Paul had a revelation from the glory that affected his life forever. And when he preached the gospel of the glory of Christ. He could speak of such a glorious person because he'd seen Jesus in all his glory. And so he was given a message to go to the nations, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, and that they may receive remission of sins and inheritance among them, sanctified by faith in me. How many there are today under the power and dominion of Satan. How sad it is. What a sad world we live in. Well, the power of the gospel can change you, my friend, and the gospel comes that you might be changed and that you might come into the blessings of Christianity. This inheritance amongst them are sanctified by faith in me is the blessings that God has in mind in the gospel. You're not on your own. You're brought into a wonderful inheritance. God's inheritance in believers is inheritance in the saints. May it be your portion and may it be my portion today. And so he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Well, how many times have we refused the gospel? We said, well, not really for me. I'm not ready yet. I'm not quite ready to make that commitment. Oh, I pray tonight, dear friend, you won't put it off any longer, that you will turn to God and turn to Jesus in all your need and ask the Lord Jesus to be your Saviour. And so he goes through all that had happened to him. He wasn't disobedient. And all that he ended up, this man becoming a prisoner of Rome. Eventually, he lost his life. He was killed by one of the Roman emperors. But you know, he could say, I finished the race. He'd done all that he'd been asked to do. And he had no fear as to what lay before him. Well, maybe this be our portion. I just want to finish this last scripture in Malachi about this wonderful sunrise. What a day that will be. What a word it is at the end of the Old Testament. It speaks here about a day cometh burning as a furnace. A day of judgment coming. And you know, there is judgment coming upon this world. You might not want to believe it. But it is coming, and God is going to wrap everything up. He's going to bring in everything under his authority. The Lord Jesus is going to be the judge. But who is the Son of Righteousness? S-U-N here is Jesus. He's the Son of Righteousness. It says he rises with healing in his wings. Think of the rays of the sun as they shine out. And think of Jesus as rising up upon this earth. What blessing there will be upon this earth. What a day that will be. And it's coming very soon. He's arising with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and leap like fatted calves. Well, what a wonderful thought to finish our time together on, the Son of Righteousness. May our eyes and our hearts be fixed on Jesus. May he be your personal Saviour and Lord. And may you commit your heart and your soul and your life to him. Realise you have such a short time here. Our lives, I cannot believe how fast life goes, you know. Talk about years, it's 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, 60 years. And it's all gone in a flash. Our lives are like, it says in scripture somewhere, like a weaver's shuttle. And that's fast, how fast that moves. Our lives are passing by and we are passing too. But let us make sure as to where we spend eternity. It's not to frighten us into blessing. It's to realize the great blessings and availabilities that are there for us as trusting in Jesus. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell, the place prepared for the devil and his angels. He wants you to share his heavenly home with Jesus. As the Lord Jesus said to his own, I go to prepare a place that where I am, you may also be with me. You know, what a hope we have, don't we? We think of the lack of hope in this world. Believers have a real living hope. May it be your hope tonight, for his name's sake.